Ever wondered why you instinctively delete most emails without reading them? Or why you've developed an almost supernatural ability to ignore billboards while driving? We're living through an attention apocalypse. Every day, companies hurl roughly 3,000 marketing messages at each of us, a relentless barrage that has transformed our minds into fortresses. We've become experts at tuning out, scrolling past, and mentally blocking anything that smells like advertising. Traditional marketing has essentially declared war on our attention, and we've responded by building impenetrable walls. For 90 years, marketing followed one playbook: interrupt whatever people were doing and force them to pay attention. Watching a TV show? Here's a commercial. Reading a magazine? Here's a full-page ad. Walking down the street? Here's a billboard. This approach worked beautifully when there were only three television networks and people actually memorized TV schedules. We shared the same cultural references, watched the same shows, and yes, we even remembered the jingles. But something fundamental broke. The mass market splintered into a million micro-audiences. Product quality improved so dramatically that most people stopped actively searching for alternatives. Why bother when what you have works fine? Meanwhile, the number of new products exploded. 17,000 new food items launch annually, each screaming for attention in an increasingly deaf marketplace. Faced with this crisis, marketers did what seemed logical. They doubled down. Bigger budgets, weirder placements, more aggressive tactics. Advertisements invaded airport bathrooms, gas pump screens, even the backs of grocery receipts. Yet response rates kept plummeting. The more they spent, the less it worked. It's like trying to win an argument by shouting louder. Eventually, everyone just stops listening. The sad truth? Interruption marketing had become a massively expensive game of roulette where only a few mega brands like Nike could afford to keep playing. Here's the paradox. While most businesses keep shouting louder, spending more, and getting less, a handful of companies discovered something radical. What if instead of forcing your way into someone's life, you simply asked permission first? What if the solution wasn't shouting louder, but speaking softly to people who actually want to listen? Permission marketing operates through five stages: offer genuine value to get someone to raise their hand, teach them about your product through ongoing dialogue, reinforce why it's worth their time, gradually ask for deeper permission, and transform this relationship into profit over time. This isn't quick. AOL and American Express spend $300 and $150 respectively just to acquire one customer, investments that only make sense long term. Think of it like dating. Interruption marketing proposes marriage to strangers. Permission marketing transforms strangers into acquaintances, acquaintances into friends, friends into committed partners. Unlike traditional advertising, whose impact fades when spending stops, permission compounds. Not all permission is equal. Intravenous permission lets customers authorize decisions for them, like subscription services that deliver water before you run out. Points permission uses frequent flyer miles to create ongoing engagement. Personal relationships with your mechanic are powerful, but don't scale. Brand trust requires massive spending and remains fragile. Situational permission captures brief moments when someone seeks help. Would you like fries with that? Works because customers initiated contact. Below that lies spam. Any unsolicited message violating the principle of anticipated, expected communication. Permission operates by four ironclad rules. First, it isn't transferable. Companies can't sell or rent customer information. When people discover you've shared their data without consent, trust evaporates instantly. Second, permission is selfish. Consumers don't care about your quarterly targets. They're thinking, what's in it for me? Robert Half International understood this, offering a free salary guide that professionals actually wanted, creating mutual benefit rather than a one-sided pitch. Third, permission is a process, not an event. Unlike traditional advertising single moment, permission unfolds over time. It's courtship, not transaction. Yoyodyne increased response rates from 2% to 36% through constant testing and affordable digital experimentation. Fourth, permission can be revoked instantly. The power balance has shifted. Consumers hold the cards. Like Shahrazadeh's cliffhanger stories, each message must be compelling enough that recipients want the next one. When someone can unsubscribe with one click, you're forced to provide genuine value. Most companies treat the internet like television with a keyboard, just another broadcasting channel. This wastes billions. The internet isn't a broadcast medium. It's the most powerful direct marketing tool ever invented. The advantages are staggering. Zero delivery costs, testing cycles 100 times faster than traditional methods, response rates potentially 15 times higher, ability to educate through writing rather than expensive video, and free frequency, enabling continuous dialogue. A permission marketing campaign online follows a clear path. Use inexpensive banner ads to offer something valuable in exchange for email addresses. Begin a training relationship through regular emails, teaching prospects about your category and products. Reinforce incentives when interest wanes. Gradually request deeper permission, more personal data, willingness to try products, openness to related offers. Finally, convert this permission into profit. The math is compelling. If banner ads cost $40 per thousand impressions, generate 2% click-through, and 33% of visitors grant permission, each permission costs $6. If half become customers, acquisition cost is $12. For products with lifetime value exceeding $100, this is spectacularly profitable. Compare that to traditional methods, where qualified leads cost $100 to $1,000. Yet most websites chase immediate sales rather than permission acquisition, missing the sustainable advantage that compounds over time. Joe Girard became the world's greatest car salesman with one technique, sending greeting cards to every customer about 10 times yearly. This gave him 12 minutes of annual attention per customer, enough to stay top of mind and generate powerful word of mouth. American Airlines A Advantage program exemplifies permission marketing at scale. Members eagerly await statements because they're relevant. The airline extended this permission brilliantly, offering car rentals, hotels, credit cards. Customers don't see this as intrusive because core permission was established first. Amazon understood selling books was just the beginning. Their real product is permission. Every purchase and review teaches them about preferences. This could revolutionize publishing. Imagine emailing a million mystery readers about an exclusive thriller. If 300,000 respond positively, they could offer substantial advances while earning millions, eliminating advertising and unsold inventory. Catholic parishes demonstrate permissions fundraising power, hitting targets in weeks that take corporations months. Parishioners granted explicit permission to be asked. The priest speaks their language and makes personal rather than transactional requests. 10 questions reveal if your permission marketing works. Is your initial offer compelling and connected to your product? Can you calculate what each permission costs? Are you honest about expectations when people opt in? Do you know the cost per message and leverage low-cost channels like email? What's your response rate and are you testing to improve it? Can you detect weakening permission and intervene, like American Airlines offering bonus miles when activity drops? Do you track permission capital as carefully as inventory? Are you leveraging permission across related offers, as Orvis does selling clothing to fishing buyers? Are you deepening permission, moving customers up the trust ladder? What's your permission's lifespan? Ephemeral like a tourist location, or enduring like a financial advisor relationship? These metrics separate hunting from farming. Interruption marketing is hunting. Shoot until you hit something, then start over. Permission marketing is farming. Plow, plant, water, weed, harvest. Miss a month and your crop suffers. But farming is predictable and scalable. Hunters are limited by hours in the day, while farmers build compounding systems that drive sustainable growth. We've entered an era where attention is scarce and trust is the most valuable currency. The old interrupt and persuade model is dying because interruption costs keep rising while effectiveness falls. Permission-based communication costs less and compounds in value. This reflects a fundamental power shift. consumers now control when, where, and how they receive messages. Thriving companies aren't those with the biggest budgets or cleverest ads. They're the ones building genuine relationships at scale, transforming strangers into friends and friends into advocates. In a world drowning in noise, the quietest voice, the one you've explicitly invited, becomes most powerful. This shift represents a fundamental reimagining. Treat people like humans who deserve respect, not targets to be conquered. Winners won't be those who shout loudest, but those who listen most carefully and respond most thoughtfully to the permission they've been granted.